perseverance and the growing of faith. I have I've been a monk here nearly 26 years, and I think when I first came, they wondered whether I would really stick it out. And I came here not knowing anything about Buddhism, not having any interest in religion, but feeling a desperation and a deep fear that life was meaningless. And I didn't even have the courage to tell anybody this deep fear until I was 25 years old. And when I told a friend of mine about this, she mentioned Shasta Abbey, that she had been here before, and she recommended that I write here. So I wrote a letter telling them what this was, and they said, oh yes, we understand, and if you want to learn how to meditate, why don't you come over here and we'll show you how. So that was my first introduction to Buddhism and to the Abbey. And I came here for a weekend. This was in 1972. And again, it did seem pretty strange here. But something felt right in my guts. That's all I can say. I didn't know anything else. And I came back a few other times within a very short period of time. And again, it was the same thing. Something really rang true, even though I didn't know anything about Buddhism. And I saw in River Master Jiu for the first time this selfless compassion, which I didn't even know I was searching for, but now when I look back, I was really searching for something that was really true and compassionate, that wasn't selfish. And I saw that in her. And I saw it in some of the other senior monks. And so it really just felt right to be here. And I'd say, let's see, I came in November, and by March, I was here for 3 months. And I had no intention of being a monk, but I thought that within the 3 months, I would have solved all my problems. Which I didn't even know half of them that existed yet. When I was first told about greed, hate, and delusion, I didn't think that had anything to do with me. But within the first 3 months, I discovered quite a bit about it. And I decided to become a monk because that seemed like the best path for me. It is not the best path for everyone. If any of you think that you're a mess, I was really deeply in trouble at that point. And I'm not kidding. I was in pretty bad shape, very confused, just deeply suffering and desperate. And I had very little faith in anything, and especially in myself. But Reverend Master Jiu, she held out her faith to me, and to as she did to all beings, and she had faith in me, even though I had literally no faith in myself. And I remember one time asking her a question of what we have, a spiritual examination ceremony where the master stands in place of the Buddha and answers questions of the monks from meditation. And I asked her, I said to her, you know, I have no faith. And her answer was, well, how can you say you have no faith when you go to the meditation hall every morning and twist yourself up like a pretzel? She was talking about the meditation posture. And at that time, I remember my thinking inside was, well, I do it because it's on the schedule. And because I have to follow the schedule. But now that I look back, I see that there was something bringing me here, something pulling me along, something that did have faith, even though I wasn't aware of it. And that is what kept me going over all the years as well. When I wrote a journal article a few years after becoming a monk, I remember looking back at my first few years and seeing that faith had grown. I don't know how it happened, but it was just what Reverend Master Jiyu said. It was the going to the meditation hall every morning that and doing the practice, even though it, you know, at times I just felt like there was no hope, that really something was growing inside and I could see it. Okay, if you had any doubts about monks being human beings, I will dispel all those doubts. Or at least that I am a human being, which I actually have had trouble accepting. Besides the normal difficult times when my faith was just low, there were, and this is not, I'm not, this is not true confessions here. I'm getting to a point. But there is a reason for this. There were also times when I made very big mistakes and times when I got really off track in my training. And at the times of low faith, though they may have lasted a long time, there was always something that pulled me out of it at some point. Sometimes it was an event. Sometimes it was something that came up in my meditation. Sometimes it was something someone said. But it always came back. Even though at times I felt there was no hope, it was very dark, it always came back. And at the times when I made the really bad mistakes, something came along that helped me. One time, I asked to do a 3-week intensive retreat, and it was during that time that, being still that long, that I could turn things around and see things more clearly again. Another time, it was the compassion of another monk who in my deep despair kept saying, "This too will pass." And I thought, well, I don't believe it, but thank you for your kindness. But she kept at it and kept being kind to me during this time. And then I also did another 2-week retreat at our hermitage. And then I could see clearly my big mistake, the mistake I'd made. And once I saw it, I turned things around and it was dropped. And another time, I got very caught up in health problems. And again, it was the true compassion of a monk. This time, not in the form of Kanzeon, but I'd say in the form, or Avalokiteshvara, but in the form of Achalanatha, just kind of the wrathful aspect of the Buddha, to help me turn it around, kept at me. And I remember being very angry at this monk until one time we were talking together, and which usually made me very angry. And something inside realized we were on the same side. And that was the end of that. When I realized we were on the same side and I saw that he was actually trying to help, I finally got back on track. And I'm very grateful for that now. So despite all the difficulties that one does go through in training, if you leave the door of faith open just a little bit, help will be given to you. Help is always there anyway, but we're very often caught up in the circumstances of the moment that we don't see it. But if we just allow that little hope, that little ray of hope, and that little the door of your faith open just a little, even when it doesn't seem possible, help will be given to you. And this is something that I found has really helped me through the years, is looking at that kind of miracle, that something helped me no matter how difficult the times were. And that something is helping all of you at all times, if you just leave yourself open just a little. Last September, I celebrated my 25th ordination anniversary, and Reverend Master Echo asked me if I had any words of wisdom. And the only thing that came out was, keep at it. And I will tell you all that now. If you decide to follow this path, you will find the truth if you keep at it. And I know there's somewhere in the scriptures where it says that, but I have not been able to find it. But I know it says, if you persevere, you will succeed. And in looking back now at my, when I first came here, I know that I would never want to be that, you know, go back that to how I was at that time. There were besides what getting the help that I needed to keep me going, there were the times in meditation and at different times when something did shift and I did see things clearly and there was faith and there was peace. And I think all of that kept me going as well. And also the fact that I had nothing to go back to, because although being a monk has not been easy, becoming a monk was very easy.
Yeah.
Because I had nothing left in the world, nothing satisfied, nothing gave me anything, so that I was glad to renounce the world. Although I found out later that I had many, many attachments that I wasn't aware of. But leaving the world was not hard. But also, I look back at the suffering that I did go through, and I see that a lot of it may have been due to the fact that my faith was not strong enough, or I felt my faith was not strong enough to sit with the deep pain and the deep fear that was inside. So instead of sitting with whatever came up and accepting it, embracing it, and letting it go, I fought it, and I hid from it, and I got angry. And I remember writing in my diary, do not be angry, sit with the pain. I kept trying to do it, but I was so afraid of it, of my own suffering and the suffering of others, that I kept hiding from it and pushing it away. And I think this is what it created, a lot of the suffering that I went through and a lot of the difficulties that I had. But I don't look back at that now with judgment, because it may have been necessary for me to have all those years of growing the faith, of seeing that something always was there to help, of actually knowing the Buddha nature more before I was really able to sit with the deeper pain that was inside. And so when I was writing this, I was thinking that Reverend Master Jiyu had a Kensho 3 months after becoming a monk, or 3 months after going to Japan. And I've been here 26 years and I'm still struggling. But so what? It doesn't matter. One thing I was reading recently, which really, really moved me, it said, lay down your burden. And it's laying down the burden of suffering. We can lay it down. Sorry. there is the Buddha nature. There is something that is not the suffering. You can lay it down. But first you have to be willing to open up to it. You can't just push it away, which is what I tried to do all those years. You can't hide from it. You have to grow your faith by the training. By doing the training, grow your faith, grow your knowing, grow your trust, and be willing. And then when the pain and the fears and the doubts arise, you can gradually sit with them. You can gradually open up to them. You can gradually love them and embrace them. And then let them go. You don't have to hold on to your suffering. I'm hoping I have laid down my burden of self-judgment and torturing myself. It feels like I have, and I just am hoping that I do not pick it up again. This doesn't mean that my doubts, my inadequacies, my self-judgment will not arise. But I know that I have the choice now to just let them come and let them go without picking up that whole scenario of misery. And I'm just really hoping I don't pick it up again, because it is true suffering. And you too can drop that load of suffering. I remember a spiritual examination ceremony that with Reverend Master Jiu many, many, many years ago. And I remember the question and answers just really struck a chord with me. And it was one of the monks who had been training for a long time and was feeling discouraged, asked Reverend Master Jiu, asked her that question, I've been training so long and I feel like I haven't gotten anywhere, which is of course how I was feeling at that time. And her answer was to tell the story of the Damask drum. And I did this class, I have to confess, I did this class last fall, but it's somewhat different now for anyone who's here. And at that time, I looked up the story in an anthology of Japanese literature. And it wasn't, she had taken the story and then used it to have a spiritual meaning. And so my memory of her story was that a young man was walking through a village and saw a beautiful woman. And he fell instantly in love with her. And she was, I can't remember exactly what, if she was nobility or whatever, but she, he just accidentally saw her, I think, when she was out on her balcony, but mostly she was just enclosed in her house, so he never saw her again, and he really wanted to see her again. So she sent, and I may even have it different from River Master, but you'll get the point. She said, if you beat this Damask drum, when I hear it, I will come out again. And Damask, I didn't know this at the time, but in looking it up, Damask is a material that doesn't make any sound. So he beat the drum day and day out, day after day, and nothing. She didn't come out. And finally, in despair, he killed himself. And she came out and said, "What a pity. If he'd beaten the drum one more time, I would have come out." So don't ever give up.